This is an important movement that has been developing over the last few years. People try to describe organizations like the World Trade Organization and IMF. Just think of it like these are a gang of international gangsters who were sitting down in a place to plan murders, talk about how they're going to redivide the world, talk about how they're going to fleece the people of the world and starve them to death. Think about it in terms of that. Then you can develop a certain level of passion to fight them. And you need passion to fight them. You know, we're so used to thinking with our heads and not with our heart. You know what I'm saying? We have to fight these people. These people are not giving a damn inch. They want to keep exploiting the people of the world. They want to keep murdering and keep jailing, whatever it is that they feel they can do to maintain a grip on power. So I like to present things and talk about things in real serious terms that people can understand. We hear so much analysis with paralysis. That's a fatal disease. We used to talk about that in the 60s, you know, when I was in the Black Panther Party with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. There were these groups around who would sit around and expound on the problem, but they would never get out and do anything. You never see them in the community doing anything. In this period right now, I will say that community organizing is a lost art. And this is one of the reasons why you don't have peoples of color. This room should be colored with black people and brown people and other peoples of color who are affected by globalization. And globalization is just another word for capitalism. I used to hear imperialism, the last stage of capitalism. Well, here I am 20 fucking years later, now we're talking about globalization. And what the fuck else will we be talking about 20 years from now if we don't get rid of this shit? We've got to get rid of it. Whatever the hell it is, it's a fatal disease, and it's killing most of the people of the world. So from my standpoint, I've always liked to say, well, just look at the real crux of a damn issue. You know, not the prettified language, not the professoral presentation and all this other garbage. I don't teach any college. I'm a person of the street. I'm a poor person. I'm a person who was radicalized by events. Things were happening in the world in my little corner of it, you know, and we knew that the youth were moving. The youth were moving. They were a motive force in history. And the youth are moving again. This is what's happening. This is the first stages of a revolution. That's what we should call it. We're fighting a revolution. We're in the 21st century now. Hell, I had to argue with people about Bush. Well, should we be nonviolent or violent? Well, Malcolm X answered that a long time ago. Yes. Freedom by any fucking means necessary. And why do you think they have a wild dog, a mad dog, who's chomping at the bit for his master? Why do you think he's got that dog? You think that dog is there for benevolent purposes? That dog is to chew your ass up if you resist so that he can keep robbing you. This is a system of theft, murder, robbery. I said these international gangsters. If you know they're gangsters, then you know they'll do anything to stay in power. And you've got to be willing to go whatever extent there is to go to prevent these people. Many white people like to think, well, maybe if they see our numbers in the streets, they'll know that we've got power. They don't know you got power until you take it from their ass. That's when they know you have power. Take power from these rich pigs and give it to the people. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting. So we say, well, we want to replace the government. We don't want to replace the goddamn government. We want a whole new civilization. We want to get rid of all of this shit, this system of capitalism. We're trying to overturn and make new history. That's what we're trying to do. And so if we understand that, then you understand what is necessary. I'm going to look at this book, and it'll tell me, what am I supposed to be fighting for? We're fighting to stop babies from starving to death in Colombia or in South Central L.A. We're trying to stop racist killer cops shooting women down in the street, shooting old men down the street, killing people in jail cells. All of shit I've seen. I've seen these things. I live in a really small town, actually. And this small city of Chattanooga, Tennessee, Ku Klux Klan calls it Choke-a-Nigger, Tennessee. But that small city is the number one city in the United States with deaths for populations under 200,000 people. There are more people die in custody. There have been 40-some people that we've documented have died in custody in the last decade and a half in that city. And three more have to be added in the last 9 months. And, you know, the thing about all of this is not the deaths themselves as part of it, but that ain't all of it. Because there's a system that hires these motherfuckers, and then there's a system protects them when they commit their crimes. Now, think about that. There's never been an inquest into the murder of any of these poor folks, these black folks. There's never been an inquest into their murders because the system protects them. It happens there. It happens in Montreal. It happens in Toronto. And it happens around the world. So somewhere along the line, somebody's just, well, damn, this is an international thing, a transnational thing, or something. Hell, this is happening everywhere. So we see that there's a system at work here. And it ain't no mystery about it. The struggle against capitalism didn't start in Seattle. That's for damn sure. I mean, people have been fighting wars and and having battles against this shit for years trying to survive. When I was in the Black Panther Party, we used to have what we call a survival movement. Of course, what we meant then is that we would provide means of subsistence pending the revolution so that people could eat and so forth. But we can look at the survival different now, because we're saying that the system is such a danger to us and to itself that it's going to destroy the whole of humanity. That's what we're fighting for, to prevent them from destroying the whole of humanity. Not just destroying the trees, but destroying the entire eco-structure and the people who depend on it. That's what I'm talking about. And these are terms you can understand. You know, let me just throw some things out at you. Every year, for the last 20 years, the government says somewhere between 500 and 1,000 people have been killed in the United States by police forces, various police forces, the FBI, CIA, what in the hell else, local police, everybody. They've been killed, been murdered by the authorities every year. Now, there are wars taking place that have not produced that many casualties. There's somebody clearly knows, you hear all this rhetoric about class wars and all, somebody clearly knows some kind of war is taking place to kill poor people, and that poor people have got to organize to fight back. It's as simple as that. We need an army of the poor. We don't need anybody to get up there and preach and pray to these people. I mean, they know what they're doing. Don't you think, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. The hell, they don't. They've been doing it long enough. They're experts at it. They know what they're doing. We have to be organized and mobilized, and we have to be politically educated to understand what to do. Simple. What to do. You know, what to do. People get hung up in these days, well, I've got to read this book or that book, or I've got to go attend this lecture or that lecture to find out what to do. This is an important movement, but it can be stopped. It can be stopped internally if you're not committed, if people are not committed to not only fighting, but to even escalating. This movement will change its structure as time goes by, because the state is going to be that much more harsher, I can guarantee it. Just as the civil rights movement in the United States came about talking about we want the right to vote, and was essentially a struggle around democratic rights. But when people were killed by the Ku Klux Klan, when their demands, rightful demands, were thwarted, then you found a more dangerous black militancy come on the scene, and eventually organizations for revolution like the Black Panther Party. That's why they came on the scene. So we said, well, did they drop off the sky? No, there were actual social conditions that produced them, just as we're talking about a movement today, it is going to go through various stages of transformation based on the balance of forces. You're going to run up against these people. One of these times, somebody might get shot and killed. That's an inevitable process. We're dealing with people. You know, these people are heavily armed. They may be beating you with sticks today. If it was black folks that they were fighting, to be quite honest with you, it'd be some bodies already in the street. And that's just a reality. So somebody was telling me about, well, we should have white people getting in the street because the police probably won't shoot them. Well, tell that to the motherfuckers in Kent State that they won't shoot them. Eventually, to protect this system, they will shoot and kill anybody. Now, it is a fact that this system oppresses, and that the effects of this system is most harshest against peoples of color. You must unite with peoples of color. You must, and more importantly, somebody said, not just have black faces or brown faces in this room, but that the demands that they have raised, the grievances they have against this system, you must join them as allies. You must adopt those demands and make them your own. Not saying take over, you know, which is what some white radicals think this thing is supposed to be like. We'll come and take over. We'll show you how it's done. We've been to college. We've done this. They're fully capable of fighting. They need allies in the battle, people who understand, whatever skills and resources they have, then they will join the struggle. So I don't know what in the hell, you know, I can get up here and I can talk about, you know, globalization. Let me just say, to me, globalization is not just, we're not just talking about trade issues. We're not just talking about the effect of, you know, destruction of environmental laws by various governments. We're not just talking about labor rights and all this kind of bullshit. We're really talking about the effects of this, on people. And people are dying as a result of this. People are starving to death in today's world. The fact that, just think about this, ride with me. 35 years ago, when I started out as an activist and so forth, there were no homeless people in the street. You think there were 5 or 10 million homeless people in the streets? There weren't. It's a policy of this system, and that's one of the results of it. You see what I'm saying? The fact that there are people starving in the damn street. The fact that there are 2 million people in the United States and counting, and the fact that of those 2 million, 1 million are black in the prison system of the United States, the fact that all these things are happening, this level of poverty that we haven't seen before, this level of economic inequality, as the big boys call it, you know, the professors and the others, I'll leave that to them, but the fact that this is existing now, these are the real effects of it, not some rhetoric about, well, the trees are dying, and they're shooting down, they're shooting missiles over in the creek and all this kind of, that isn't the issue. That isn't really the issue. We're talking about people dying. We're talking about people suffering. And this is what I see every day, because one of the things that happened, there's a conscious underdevelopment in black communities and in poor communities in the United States to starve people to death. They're responsible for the conditions of poverty. They're responsible for the conditions of crime. They're responsible for all these things that are happening. And so when I hear people talking about the third world, this is just affecting the third world. No, the hell it isn't. And the same people who are doing those crimes, the same institutions who are doing those crimes, are the same folks who are starving the folks to death in South Central L.A., the same folks who are seeing to it that they're shot and killed, that there's bodies on the streets every day in South Central L.A. Hell, American government even created crack cocaine and sent it over there for people to push. So this is a criminal regime. This is a gang of criminals who are going over here to meet. You know, they talked about, I remember when I was a kid, they talked about how the first meeting of the mafia someplace up in, I think of Vermont or something, I can't even remember now, and they made a big deal out of that. Well, we're talking about a gang of criminals going and meet and sit down and talk about how they're going to kill everybody, how they're going to kill and enslave the people of the world. That's what we're talking about. How they're going to kill and enslave the people of the world and how they're going to get away with it, how they figure they can get away with it. But we're not going to let them get away with it, because as long as you keep fighting them, as long as you keep fighting these people, as long as you make it uncomfortable or impossible for them to have these meetings, as long as you press the issue, and as long as you ally yourselves with people who are suffering the greatest, you ally yourself with them and break common bread with them, then the potential for a new world, which is what we're fighting for, is always possible. I don't have a lot to say. You know, I think Jaggy, I think Pauline and others have been very articulate. I think the first panel was articulate. I'm not here to repeat all that. Well, I'm just want to put it in terms that you can understand it. I'm the kind of person who wants to hit you below the belt, if necessary, you know, to make you feel it down there if you have to. But to give you an understanding on a basis where it's common, so that I can walk in the street. See, one of the beauties of the Black Panther Party, one of the things that it did, is it took complicated revolutionary political theory that all along professors and others would sit around and talk about, and they were able to take that into the streets with the youth. And the thing I've always pointed out with the Panther Party is that it wasn't made up of college professors. It wasn't made up of preachers. It was made up of youth off the streets, brothers off the block, sisters off the block, ordinary people. And these ordinary people changed the world. You know, even though they fought the strongest country in the world, and nobody should be surprised that an organization of at most 5,000 people was defeated. But not only were they defeated, but that the whole 1960s radicalization was defeated. And it wasn't just defeated in the United States, it was defeated worldwide. But before it went off the stage, it left us some stirring examples. It also left us some methods. And it tells us a lot of things. Somebody says, well, it failed, it's clear that you should follow Chairman Mao. No, that isn't the issue at all. What it does tell us is that we go all the way. We go all the way. We go all the way this time. We're not looking for the federal government, whether it's Canada or the United States, to give us a damn thing. No reforms. We want a totally new society, a totally new civilization where these things are not possible. We want to remove these people off the face of history. We want to remove this corrupt system. So I guess if you look at it like that, then you have an understanding of what the task really is. I don't know what in the hell else I could get up here and say to you. You know, I'm sure I could have notes and read to you about something or other, you know. But the reality is we need to understand that any struggle against capitalism has to have a component of fighting racism. And I don't mean racism as we're talking about racist paramilitary forces. I'm talking about the state. Hey, a hell of a lot more people get killed by the pigs than they do by the Ku Klux Klan. Believe that. That's a fact in today's world. A hell of a lot more people get killed by, so when somebody gets to the point, well, we stopped the Klan. That's a damn lie. This Klan's been stopped years ago. It is a minimal force in comparison to what it used to be. But opportunists will come and tell you something different. So I want to also say that I appreciate the brother from Mexico who got up and said that don't forget that the Zapatista struggle was the basis of the globalization struggle in this period. And I think he made his point very well. I'm not going to reiterate it. But I do want to say that we got to understand that people are fighting because they have no choice. They're fighting for survival. They're fighting to survive. They're fighting to build a new world. You must join them. You must join us. And that's what this struggle is all about. Thank you very much.
So,